Blog Talk Radio.
Hey Eagles fans, it's Tuesday night, 7:30, you know what that means. Time for a little bit of insight from Tampadelphia, where diehard Eagles transplants now occupy the heart of one of the most beautiful cities in the state of Florida. Boy, what a Tuesday this is. Sure is different from the other two Tuesdays we just had. Feels kind of nice, you know? Feels good to be back to where we expected the Eagles to be, although that's not exactly where they are, but it feels like it is. The purpose of the show, Tampadelphia here, is to make us think, see the game, analyze things just a little bit differently, maybe in a way that we haven't thought of before. I do not listen to talk radio, either from Philadelphia or here in Tampa. Sports radio, nope. Don't hear it. Newspapers? Nope. Don't read them. I do follow a couple of guys online and perhaps on YouTube, but for the most part, I get this from watching the games since 1960. Yeah. I mean, I was 25 years old back in 1960. I think, no, I wasn't. But it just feels that way sometimes. So it's all about self-analysis, and it's all about being around media guys, knowing what they know, learning what they've learned about ways to analyze film and games, and seeing the screens a little bit differently than the average person that's looking at it and wants to run emotionally off a deep end somewhere, whereas us guys kind of keep our quiet, keep our cool. So that said, if you've got something to say, this show is all about you. It's for us. It's by us. And it's here. It's your show. I'll make a few introductory points, and I'll keep it going if I have to. But I want to hear from you. And you know what? You can reach the show, 657-383-1614. Come on, your fingers aren't broken. We've got a lot of different ways to look at this game and break it apart. Again, 657-383-1614. The shows are also archived, as well as my squeaky chair, to be able to help us consider some key things from week to week. And I'm going to go right into it. What was the big difference? I mean, I'm wrestling with that. I know that this game salvaged the season for us. That's unarguable. We literally saved our hides by winning this game this season. And we did it against the chippy Buffalo Bills team. They were 5-1 before they met us. Did you know that? The Bills were 5-1. Pretty good record, right? And they were in a tough division. They played New England. You know, of course, they got Miami and they got the Jets. But still, they're not softball guys. So what did it? Was the win because of the Bills? Did we just hit them where they're sort of worn down? Did they underestimate us? Did they take a look at the film from Detroit? And, you know, that place down there in Mexico, or actually it's Texaco, owned by that guy with the artificial face. Maybe they looked at that game and said, these guys really don't need a whole lot of hope they're not a threatening team. They don't need a whole lot of preparation. We can just play and muscle our way and go past them. Well, that didn't work. So was it the team? Did we catch them at the right time? Was it the fact that the Eagles were highly, highly embarrassed after back-to-back losses? I mean, these were embarrassing back-to-back losses. So I could see where the Eagles would hang their head in shame and be angry and say things to the reporters just to help project the image that, oh, I'm really riled up and I'm going to play hard and win. Well, a lot of them did. Not all, but a lot of them did. So was it that? Was it that Coach Peterson made some changes? Did Jim Schwartz make changes? Did Mike Gross step aside and let Peterson manage the game? Were guys playing for jobs? Was there that pressure? I say it's probably all of that. Plus the fact that the trading deadline was today. And maybe they thought, hey, if I don't put out, I could be gone. Maybe it's that too. Like I said, think. See the game a little bit differently. What motivated those players? Did they? Obviously, Doug Peterson still has control of the locker room. They executed the game plan. They executed on the field. So Peterson's got control, right? And he's got them playing his football his way. There's no rogue players out there doing their own thing. Everybody, not that I saw. Unfortunately for us fans, when we see a game on TV, the camera gives us fairly tight shots. We don't see the whole field. Soccer often shows you the whole field. Football does not. And that's the joy of soccer in the sense that you can see plays being set up and other strategies at work back and forth. You can't do that in football, which is really a game where you would like to see that. It's kind of like getting that big wide shot of the Phillies when the Phillies, oh, the infield's going back, or hey, the infield's coming in, right? Players respond to the situation of the moment, and we don't see that sometimes. You know, we don't see the guys lined up. We don't see the field from end zone to end zone. We see it from like maybe 4 o'clock on the dial to 10 o'clock on the dial, or 5 to 11. I mean, it's just, it's an angle, and it's not always good who's going up against who. We can't on every play, and even then we get a tight shot. So it's typically got the quarterback in range and a couple of guys there in the backfield, but you know, your wideouts and other guys that are out of the screen, is along with the defensive backfield, you're wondering what's going to happen. Anyway, that said, the Eagles had a big, big win. Personally, I think they changed from a passing offense to a running offense, and I think that was a big part of it. You know, they think the world of DeSean Jackson, but apparently the fact that they didn't throw an awful lot of balls over to Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson suggests that, yeah, they've got confidence in their wide receivers, but how much, you know? They ran. That was the big change. That was the reason for the win. They ran 40 times. 40 times in one game. Pretty good. Usually you get about 65 plays on offense during a 60-minute game. Each team has that. For 40 of it to go to the right with the league and the rules the way they are today, that's worth noticing. But we turned out 218 yards. And Sanders, who left the game with a shoulder injury, while Mr. Sanders had an extremely large, explosive run of 65 yards in one bite. Man, that's beautiful. It was Mo Howard. Sorry. I'm just going to say Curly. It was It was our Mr. Howard. I apologize to you, sir. It was our Mr. Howard who really had a phenomenal game. The man was a worker. He just went out and he ran north-south, and he plowed through the holes, and he was dragging guys in the fourth quarter like you couldn't believe. I watched the replay of the game. It was just a joy to see. Those were 10 fun minutes to watch. Scenario, but for the most part, the game was under control. But bottom line, Mr. Howard's the star of the show. He didn't carry over, but he didn't have any big plays, but he kind of carried the game. Okay? Stripped the quarterback and got a sack at the same time. And the Eagles picked it up. Probably the first touchdown of the game out of that thing. Then we were up. And I turned a little bit there. So, good job, Mr. Graham. Mr. Darby comes back. Darby, I don't know. I think he's a lightweight. And all I see is his hair flying sideways off his helmet. And it just... the guy is like Speedy Gonzalez out there, but he had a play where it was fourth down and 10. He batted away what looked like what was going to be a sure completion to one of the Bills receivers, and Darby just punched it away. He did his little high step routine, like, look what I did. That was a big play as well, too. And his 65-yard run. It was a 65-yard run for a touchdown. So he got six out of that. So congratulations to all the guys. They all did pretty well. We still have needs on the team, and today was the day for the deadline, the trading deadline in mid-season. And I invite your calls if you've got something that you think we need to pick up. 657-383. And already, folks, we're done with the first third of the show. Yes, I'd like to bring in one of our sponsors, one of them. I'll talk to you about Tampa Delphi on the next break, but one of our sponsors is new. And you know what? He's extremely good. He's extremely good. It's called Antipesto. The owner, Cortland, he is a Philadelphia transplant in New Florida. If you sign up for Pest Control, you can get a gift card. If that promo is still running, if not, the guy has promos all over the place. If you're interested in any sort of protective service, any sort of analysis, suggestion, any sort of inspection or review, call him. Call him. He's been doing this a long time. I've talked to him. I've met him. I've met his family. He's a classy, quality guy, and I would have no problem using him. Cortland still has a number in Philadelphia, and Cortland is, well, I'm getting that number for you as soon as I can find it, assuming my chair won't squeak us out of the room. But he... I'll bring that in. Where's your number, Cortland? Cortland, it grew legs and walked away. But if you find Anti-Pesto, P-E-S-T-O, you'll be able to, and it's a Philadelphia area code on that number. It's not a 215. It's one of the other ones. And or else. And if you Google him, Antipesto, you should be able to find out what he offers. I know he's got about anywhere from 3 to 6 promos going on at any given time. He's an ingenious guy. He's aggressive. He's very proud of what he does. It's comfortable work. I love guys like this. I can stand on their own two with their finances and life and say, this is what I want to do and who I want to be. And they do a great job of it. And Cortland, tip of the Eagles hat your way. So he is part of Tampa Delphi. Also, Tampa Delphi itself, if you haven't heard of us, we are a collection of Eagles fans here in the Tampa Bay area, and we've got two locations that we frequent, and I'll tell you about those on the next segment. But right now, we want to get back to the Eagles, and what do we want to talk about? What do we want to talk about? We save stats for the last segment. We want to trade, or rather, we want to talk about the lack of trades. Today was the day they were going to pull the trigger on something. Howie Roseman, he's such a football guru. He's a wizard. Howie Roseman's going to get us some guys. You wait and see. We got a lot of injuries. Howie's going to pull some deals. He'll find a way. Didn't happen. No trades at all. Either he didn't get the right guys or the compensation was wrong. It was a bad deal. Too much for too little. Maybe he was buying damaged goods. He stood pat. He sat on his hands, sat on his money. And I doing that takes a strong guy with a lot of character as well too. So if Howie Roseman is convinced, pardon me, if he's convinced that that was the best way for us or this trading opportunity, then that's good enough for me. We did make one trade with the Browns. We got a linebacker. His name is Gennard Avery, A-V-E-R. And in return, we gave away a defensive tackle named Bruce Hector. It was with the Cleveland Browns. We could use a linebacker. And Avery might be a good guy along with Nathan Gentry. Jerry's turning out to be a productive guy, but he's getting a chance. This could be his time, right? Some guys, because of a dearth of injuries, a two or a three gets a chance at a level that makes people notice and makes them want to keep playing them. So, may be the case with Mr. Avery. I hope it is. Mr. Heaton has come and gone with the Eagles times, but you think, wow, that's defensive tackle. Gosh, we really need those guys because, you know, our defensive line has some problems on the defensive line. Yeah, we do. We do. But we still have active six defensive tackles with Barnett, Brandon Graham, Vinnie Curry. I almost said the invisible Vinnie Curry, but that wouldn't be fair, would it? Vinnie Curry may have his reasons for having better stats. Josh Sweat, maybe he pronounces it sweet. He was a draft pick. Obviously, those guys are not going to get a lot of minutes during the first year. Hall and Sharif Allen or Miller, pardon me, Sharif Miller. Sharif Miller was also an Eagles draft pick. Let's go around. So he's new to the team and to the as well, too. Two guys that are riding the bench because they're rooks. And Barnett and Graham are, you know, the backbone of our defensive tackles right now. So that's something to think about. So we did not do anything. I was looking at some of the players that we do have, and on defense, we still have Zach Brown listed as our, but Nathan Jerry is over, and after that, Nigel Bradham. And, Nigel Bradham, I believe, still maybe. We've got a little bit of good news on that front. DeSean Jackson and Sproles are both expected to practice this week, starting tomorrow. Doesn't mean they're going to play Sunday, but it means they're going to practice. And that's good. Reps. They're both probably out of hitting tape, but you don't want them to hit at this point either. Some of their injuries can be if you're going to go with live contact this fast. So for linebackers, we've got Gerry. And one is, if you can imagine it, T.J. Edwards. He's a linebacker. He's played 8 games for us. Yeah. He's played 8 games. He's got 12 tackles. And 12 tackles. He's got 8 combined for solos. And our linebacker core is truly... Oh, Camu Grigio. He's back there, too. I apologize, Mr. Hill. But he's only played in 5 games. But he's carrying stats. He's okay. He's good and serviceable back there. But our core, we need a guy back that can really make a difference and breathe some fire and take over the middle. I mean, we need a mean son of a bitch like we had with Bill Burgi. The Eagles were oatmeal before Burgi arrived. I was around back then. I know that in the early 1960s, Gabriel. And I'll tell you what, we got Bill Burgi, and that made a big, big difference. We gave up an awful lot to get him because Burgi was the heart and soul of that single defense. And the Eagles traded for him, and everybody fell in love with Burgi because Burgi was just like another Derek. He threw a body around. He hit to hurt you. And he was always, always, always expecting players to get the same intensity level as him. The man led from the front. And we need another linebacker like that because I'm not sure we have one. Maybe Gerry will grow into that. How we were, right? So we really don't have that. So I'm kind of hoping that Mr. Jannard Avery can come in and get some mud off his cleats and move some people. Okay. So that was the trade, but the big news is no news. And finally, I guess as far as the trades, they were talking about us trying to bring in a wide receiver. And I don't know. Do we need that or do we need time? I mean, gosh, Nelson Agholor and Alshon Jeffrey are not the same wide receivers that they were 2 years ago when we won a Super Bowl. Those guys were unstoppable, acrobatic, Cirque du Soleil kind of wide receivers that you enjoyed watching because now our wide receivers are pretty – they're good. They're good in terms of being able to separate speed, but they've got to have Deshaun in there to open up the game for these guys. By themselves, they're okay. They're really good wide receiving unit. And I know they're really, really hanging their hat on Deshaun Jackson coming back, as they should. I mean, this late in his life, and he's still doing this, and he's still that fast. God bless you, man. You're quicker than me, and I'm okay. But, wow. The guy that dropped off so far this season is Zach Ertz, amazingly. Our tight end is – but Zach Ertz is in his 10th year. Dallas Goedert is making some plays. And his confidence is growing. And he is he's becoming a better target for Mr. Wentz, who also had a pretty good game. We'll go over the stats after the next break. But I'll tell you this. The Eagles could use a little bit of fuel injection on offense. We got a running back named Boston Scott. And he cost us, he coughed up a ball. But then the defense held. So no real harm done, but not a good way to start. And Agholor, geez. Nelly, as he's called, has had his share of challenges this year that we all know about. He's had them before, like in his first and second season. And Mr. Aguilar has all the talent in the world. The toughest game is the one played between your ears. And I really want to wish Mr. Aguilar the absolute best in terms of his preparation and his game days and everything else. I think that Nelson Aguilar is a starter in this league. I think, he's hit a speed bump. I mean, we've all done that. We've all been there. Not a big deal. So let's talk about Doug Peterson. I did not listen to a single press conference. I wasn't interested in what they were going to say because I've heard it all before. He's going to spread the praise around all his players, and he's not really going to tell you what he did different, aside from giving the ball to Mr. Howard and Mr. Sanders because he felt that maybe that was where the opportunity was. I think Jim Schwartz put in some time and did some work, and I'm glad for that. Schwartz is an okay defensive coordinator. I mean, he works. I don't want to suggest that he's shagging it, you know. He's not a dud. But I think he put in some extra hours, and that certainly made a big difference, and it showed. Buffalo has a nifty little quarterback. He is he's a good guy. He's deadly accurate, and he's a real hard opponent. I like this kid. That they have up in Buffalo, and we got to him a lot. We forced him to scramble, and we forced him to run on the pass on the fly. None of that, however you say that, it doesn't seem to come out right. But we forced him to throw on the move. How's that? And I think our Corey Unlin, our defensive backfield coach, put in a little extra. As well, they know which way the media's teeth were biting, where they were headed. So they probably didn't want any of that, right? So we are still here at 657-383-1614. We're coming into the final 15 minutes of the show. And what I want to do is I want to be able to just tell you a little bit about Tampa Delphia for a minute. I had mentioned that we meet at two locations. We meet at Mugs in Clearwater, right off of Ulmerton Road and 58th Street. When you hit the light of 58th, turn into the park, the industrial park. You'll see a street out your side window immediately after you make that turn. There's a little arcade there, and Mugs is right in front of you. And Mugs is a cheerful place with good food, a lot of screens, 100% exclusive Eagles crowd. It's a sports bar, so don't expect a hotel or a classy marble environment. It's not that type of facility. It's designed for beer and karaoke, and that's what you get. But it's ours, and it's right there in Clearwater in the heart of Philadelphia transplant country. Also, we meet at the Jazz House Supper Club on Adamo Drive, ADAMO, which is also known as Route 60, and also Kennedy, John F. Kennedy Boulevard or Avenue, whatever. It runs east-west through downtown Tampa. And once you get to the other side of downtown around the Ybor District, it changes its name to Adamo, which was an old commercial highway. A lot of businesses, a lot of manufacturing, transportation, warehousing, that type of industry. And the Jazz House is located right past 301. 301 is a big intersection. 301 is a very, very popular road. And they're on the other side of 301, not the downtown side, but the Brandon Mall side. Brandon Mall's about three lights away, and the Jazz House is right after 301, inside the Clarion Hotel. And this place is a nice venue. It has great screens. It has marble bars, indoor, outdoor. It has fantastic drinks. It has, I mean, great visibility. You can hear the sound. You can hear the game. Also 100% Eagles. And In both facilities, plenty of restroom facilities. I hate to use the word, same word twice in a sentence, but no one for all kind of restroom, you know? Forget that, you know? That's a ladies' room deal where you go and wait in line to use the standard so you can whiz. Not at either one of our places. Clean, comfortable, and you're very welcome. Service is good. AC is cold. It's a comfortable, relaxing place. The Jazz House is growing. It's building. It doesn't get as much headcount as Mugs. It's the same amount of hospitality. It's the same amount of welcome. And it's still a good Eagles game day. And, you know, we're proud to have them with us. So wherever side of town you like to go, whether it's the Pinellas County side where Clearwater and St. Pete is, or if you prefer to go on the Hillsborough side where Tampa is, Tampa, Brandon, Bradenton, Wesley Chapel, all of those areas in between, then the Jazz House is for you. The Jazz House still has all you can drink for $20. Mimosas, Bloody Marys, and beer. I mean, whoa, not bad at all. And they also have a $10 basket of food. Mugs, I don't think, has any real specials. I was there this past Sunday. I chicken out. I mean, not that I eat chicken. It's just that I chicken out from ordering something that's going to carb me up. And I never eat fries. I never eat rice. I never eat potatoes or pasta anymore. I just a few occasional pieces of bread here and there. But I always do get a good Greek salad. And that's what I got this past Sunday over at Mugs. I didn't order much. I was too busy. Our T-shirts have really, really come alive. And the guys and gals of Tampa Delphia have been buying them in quantity. I mean, I'm talking 2-3 at a time. Thank you for your support with that. Thank you for being part of Tampa Delphi. It's all about you. It's all about us. I don't do this because I really don't make money on this. I'll tell you what. I do it because we need a place. We need a group. We need somebody that – we need someplace where the Eagles fans are elevated and recognized and esteemed, not someplace where you're preyed upon. You know, we give it back to you. It's for you. It's by you, just like the show. So, but Tampa Delphia is all about our game days, good game days, because the week, life is fast, and it's not fair. The week goes by fast. They're usually tough, and you've got a lot going on, and you've got other things chewing on you at night when you're on your own free time. And by the time you get to the weekend, you just want to relax a little bit, hide, and have a cold one and watch a game. Get something good to eat. Maybe come with a friend. Maybe come with the family. Come with the wife. Because Tampa Delphia is very family friendly. Both locations. And I'll tell you what. That's what it's for. That's where we come in. So look us up on Facebook. Tampa Delphia Eagles on Facebook. And you'll find out everything you need to know. My name is Paul. I started it. I run it. And I keep it focused on you. And I have a lot of people helping me. And I want to reach out and say thank you to them. Some of them are always listening. Listenership is growing. And our Philadelphia Eagles information keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. If you have something to say, we're in the final segment of the show, 657-383-1614. I'm going to wrap it up with just a couple of stats on the overview because, before we get pumped up sky high again or drop down too low again because it's, oh my God, the Eagles. I got to ask you, where's your head? How do you feel about this team? Do you know who they are yet? Do you really know this Philadelphia Eagles team? Can you predict what they're going to do? Can you predict their record? Can you predict what is going to be the better squad, offense, defense, or special teams? Do you know how Coach Peterson is going to adjust for certain opponents? Is he going to perform better against the weaker teams only and curl up for the really tough teams? We don't know any of this. I don't. And if you do, it's just a guess. But the question is, how do you feel about this team? You feel that they can win 6 of their next 8 games? We got a shot. We can still win this division. We're only a half game out of first place. I'll never give up on the Eagles. I will grind on them, chew their ankles, and complain. But in a positive way. And I will not give up on them. I've been through the worst Eagles teams and seasons you could imagine. And I'm still here. Holding them up. I started a sports club for them. How many other fans have done that? I keep it going. I spread their name. I keep them in a positive light. Because it's my team, my town, my heritage, my legacy. So, let's take a look at some of the stats. Carson Wentz, he's okay. He's middle of the road. He's got 1,821 yards passing. Jordan Howard bursts out. He's got 443 yards so far this year. Not bad. Zach Ertz is down. He's got 424 yards so far this year. Rodney McLeod has got 45 tackles. A lot of them are combined. In other words, he was in on the tackle with other guys. Nathan Jerry, the linebacker that I mentioned, he's got 2 picks, 2 interceptions. That's what we need to get more of. So Carson Wentz has only got like a 62% completion rate. So when people say how great and terrific Carson Wentz is, remember that Carson Wentz needs targets. And he would be a lot better off if certain plays in the first 8 games were completed for receptions and yards. So don't hang these numbers entirely on Carson Wentz. And also, he's had a kind of a challenge there with the offensive line, keeping him clean. He's been sacked 16 times. He's been intercepted 4 times. He's got 14 TDs. He's got 14 TDs. And his longest was 53 yards. And after that, it doesn't matter. Rushing Jordan Howard displaced Miles Sanders by a big shot. Jordan Howard is at 443 yards. Miles Sanders is at 294, even though they both played 8 games. And their average is the same. Howard has a 4.4 yard average, and Sanders has a 4.5 yard average. So, and Sanders has a longer run than Howard, but they're different types of backs. But Howard has 5 TDs and Sanders has 1. So something to think about. Our third best rusher, Carson Wentz. Yeah, I knew that. And after that, Boston Scott, the guy that's only played, he's been with us for 3 games. He's got 68 yards on 16 carries for 4.3 average. Kind of interesting, right? But he's got a TD as well, too. So after that, we're talking about Darren Sproles, Aguilar, Jeffrey, and quarterback Josh McCown. Receiving, this will open your eyes. Zach Ertz leads the receivers with 424 yards. Jeffrey only has 317, but he hasn't been himself. He's got 1 game less. He's played 1 game less than Ertz. Sanders is our third best receiver. He's good out of the backfield. Miles Sanders is going to all pro for some reason. To me, he looks like another, that back we had, Keith Byers. That's it. We had a guy named Keith Byers that could catch balls out of the backfield like crazy. Byers, he had an amazing season and went into the NFL record books. It still may be there. And I think Sanders is following in his footsteps with the type of player that he is. The other guys at the bottom of our wide receiver list are, you know, the guys you'd expect to see there. But our wide receivers are not exactly setting the world on fire. On defense, McLeod and Malcolm Jenkins are it. Zach Brown's gone. He was our third best on defense, but Jerry has stepped up into that spot. Brandon Graham behind him. After that, Rasul Douglas and Andrew Sandejo. Nigel Bradham, a linebacker, comes in after that, and then Fletcher Cox. Fletcher Cox has played 8 games, but his stats are way down. Derek Barnett's right below him. Sidney Jones, 6 games and Sorry, Sydney. It's just not looking like you've been really out there doing what you got to do. Avante Maddox has got the same stats as you, and he was number one, and he's played two less games. Same thing with Darby. He's right behind Maddox. So, kind of some interesting stats to see how the season's going with some guys. Next week, what I'll do is I'll probably start my exercise of looking into our team players, seeing which guys are over 30, which guys have a contract expiring, and kind of calculate the odds for them staying a Philadelphia Eagle. I could probably tell you there's five or six guys that are probably going to go that are household names. Well, it's that way every year. I don't know why you'd be surprised with that, but in reality, the teams shuffle a lot every year, but I think a lot of other clubs are going to be looking for the same type of positional talent that we are. Scoring, our biggest and best scorer on the team. Who is it? Quick. Time's up. It's our kicker, Jake Elliott. He's got 46 points. That's usually the way. After that, it's Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard scored 36 points in 8 games. Man, what a nice find he was. We gave up a conditional 6th-round draft pick for him, which is probably going to certainly escalate to a 5th-round draft pick because he's working out so well. Jeffrey is our 3rd-best scorer with 24 points. And Howard had 36. Jeffrey has 24. Aguilar has 18. Dallas Goedert has 18. And Miles Sanders is there with 14. Zach Ertz, 8 points scored all year. 8 games, 8 points. What's he have? 1 touchdown? How'd he get 8? How do you get 8 points on 1 touchdown? That's odd. He's got 1 TD. Let me see if I can make sense of this. 8 points. Crazy. Oh, he had a 2-point play. He had 6 plus 2. There you go. So, aside from that, we're not setting the fire. We're lucky to hang in the way we are. I don't know if that's a testament to Coach Peterson's game planning or if it's a testament to, I guess, the quality of the guys that we still have left on the field. A lot of them are working hard. They're pros. They want to stay in the league. They want to stay with the Eagles. Can't say I blame them. You know, we're still considered a Super Bowl club. So, that said, we have another week to look forward to. And we're going to be playing the Chicago Bears. Always a tough game. We're playing this one, I think, in Philadelphia, too. And that's a good thing because Chicago is kind of cold right now. It's supposed to be a nasty winter this winter. So, I think the November and December games are going to be kind of chippy. Weather-wise. So, the Eagles are coming to Miami on December 1st, and I still have some tickets for that game. If you're interested, please contact me. Go to Facebook, go to Tampa Delphi Eagles, send me a message, and I will get that. So, the Philadelphia Eagles, bottom line is we win out the season. We make new transactions on trading day. And in Chicago, but we got a couple of guys that are back on the practice field and a few other guys that are going to be coming back into the game. So maybe the tide is going to turn for us. And you know what they say about peaking at the right time, right? Well, maybe the last 8 games is the right time for that, not the first 8. That's what Bill Belichick seems to think. That said, I thank you for tuning in. Most of all, I want to thank you for coming and being part of Tampa Delphi. I want to report with donations. Merchandise that you donate. I mean, there's a lot. It's all for us. So it goes back to us. And it's great to have this with total strangers from the same city that you never knew when you were up there, right? But thanks very much. I'm going to call it a night and for the week. Keep your head up. Keep your chin high. Remember, the Eagles are contending for first place. So Act like you're there, like you've been there, because you have. And I'll see you in a week. Take care.